Morning. It's good to be here this morning. It's good to see each and every one of us here. The text this morning is going to come out of 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. But you know, when we get up here this morning, we get thinking about in our Bible study, the first hour, we think about Jesus. When Jesus came to earth, he had all the power. He could have come as a millionaire. He could have come as a pharaoh. He could have come in any form that he wanted to come. But he humbled himself. He humbled himself to be of service to each and every one of mankind. He humbled himself to show that he had love one for another. And that's what each and every one of us. And then we say, well, what's it mean to humble myself? Am I supposed to be a weakling and just be a pushover? By no means. We're supposed to show our strength through our love one for another. I tried a little role Wednesday night, and I've done a great job of it, and I'd like to try it again and do it again this morning before we get into it, because that's exactly the mindset I want to get each and every one of is humbling ourselves. So if everyone would please sing with me, humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. I'm going to try it. Ready? Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord.
Nature. We want to be the best. We want everyone to think that we're the best at everything. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 tells us that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, here when it says that the man of God may be perfect, it's not saying that we're going to be perfect in the way that we look at perfect things. It's not saying that we're going to be a perfect individual. We're going to be a perfect teacher. We're going to be a perfect person, but we're going to be perfect Christian to the best of our ability. He's given us everything that we can, but it's our human nature that's going to cause us to stumble and fall. The inspired word of God provides us with instruction on how we as God's children are to live our daily lives on a daily basis. One area that we should always remember is that of humility. Now, in the scope of our discussion this morning, I want us to consider three things about humility. First of all, what does it mean to be humble? I want us to look at some examples of humility, and then I want us to actually see the consequences of lacking humility. Now, as I said earlier, what does it mean to be humble? Well, it's a song we just sang, James 4:10. James wrote, "Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." It says a lot. It tells us what we're supposed to do. Humble ourselves. Tells us who we're supposed to do that. It says yourself. So he's talking about each and every one of us. But when are we supposed to humble ourselves? In the sight of the Lord. When is the Lord looking at us? When is the Lord knowing what we're doing? All the time. So we're supposed to always, how do I say that? 24/7. And then the reward. He shall lift you up. God will lift us up. James 4:10. Humility is a state of mind. It's a characteristic that is taught rather than a natural instinct. As I said, our natural instinct, we want to be the best. There's people in the world today that feel like they get to the top of being the best just by stepping on other people, so to speak. We're not told to do that. We're told to take people with us. We're not supposed to make other people look bad just to make ourselves look better so that we get to heaven. We're supposed to help not only ourselves but others look good and be right where we can all go to heaven together. One word we often hear with humility is meekness. A proper understanding of the concept of humility is a must in order to make the proper application to our lives. In other words, we got to know exactly what it means to be humble and to humble ourselves in order to do it. So then, what does it mean to be humble? Well, Webster's dictionary defines humble as not proud or haughty, not arrogant or assertive, reflecting expression or offered in the spirit of deference or submission. It is impossible for a person to possess the characteristics of humility and arrogance at the same time. In other words, you can't be selfish and selfless at the same time. When one obeys the gospel of Jesus Christ, he is lowered into a watery grave of baptism and rises to walk in the newness of life. We see over in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. When it says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ, into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life." Now through baptism here, it's telling us that we die to sin and become new creatures. Thus, we serve a new master. We don't serve the old master of sin anymore. We obey and we serve our Heavenly Father. That's not to say that we don't slip and fall. But we have to recognize it. We have to get things straight and get back into God's standard. It's not saying that we have a license to go out and sin. It's just saying that God loves each and every one of us enough, and through his grace and his mercy, we can get forgiveness of our sins. We therefore cannot be pleased in service to God and our own selfish will. Peter wrote, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 and 6 tells us, "Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourself,
therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. 1 Peter 5:5-6. So basically, without God, man is nothing and is hopeless to save himself. It's like a little story that I have told before, and I think even posted on Facebook, about the little donkey that was coming into town. He was real sad. And the other donkey asked him, he said, "What's the problem?" He said, "A week ago, I come into town with the Savior, Jesus Christ, on my back. And everybody just laid palm trees down, just praised and made a big deal out of it. Now, when I walk around, people act like they don't even see me." The other donkey said, "It's simple. Without Jesus, you're nothing." And that's the same thing with each and every one of us. Without God in our hearts and in our actions, and people being able to see God in our actions, we're nothing. We need to live our life from people who won't have to ask, "Are you a Christian?" They'll look and say, "Hey, you're a Christian, aren't you?" We need to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. God said, without God, man is nothing and is hopeless to save himself. So why do we believe that we have the right to exalt ourselves when we realize who we are in the scheme of things? We will humble ourselves in the sight of God as well as our fellow man. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than ourselves." Philippians 2 and 3. Now I want to look at some examples of humility. There are more examples of those possessing a humble attitude in the Bible, both in the Old and the New Testament, than we have space or time to discuss. Now by looking at a few of these examples, however, what I want us to do is be able to better understand the attitude that God desires for us to possess. In the 13th chapter of Genesis, we read of the friend of God, Abraham. Abraham, traveling with his nephew Lot, both having many possessions and cattle, it came to a point that the land could not support them both jointly together. Now the Bible tells us that contentions arose between their herdsmen. Abraham settled the matter by allowing Lot to choose first what land he wanted, and Abraham accepted the remainder. How many of us display this type of attitude toward our fellow brethren or even our fellow man? That human nature is that that's the better part, and that's what I'm going to get. We see here Abraham. He didn't say that, and I'm sure Lot probably picked the best part. But Abraham humbled himself in the sight of the Lord. And we've seen how by doing this, how God rewarded him, he just prospered. It wasn't because Lot picked the wrong land. It was because of Abraham's humbled attitude that God prospered him through it. In the New Testament, we can look at the Apostle Paul as one would possess a humble attitude. Paul suffered many great things for the sight of preaching the gospel. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Corinthians. Chapter 11, verses 24 and 27. "Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one." Devil's trying to do anything he can to keep us from getting God's word. But anyway, so that the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice was I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. And journeys often in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness. But yet, Paul suffered through all of this. But yet Paul was able to make statements such as, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Ephesians 3:8. And we see Philippians 3:8. Yet doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Philippians 3:8. Here he says, willing to give up everything that he may receive Christ. Telling us here that we too have to give up some things in our lives. 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Paul followed in the Lord's steps, even as he describes Christ's humbled attitude in his letter to the Philippians. After describing our humble attitudes towards one another, Paul states in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This is the very thing that Brother Reggie is doing a great job teaching us in the first hour, and I encourage everyone who can to come, because this is a great lesson. It's going to help us be able to recognize what we're supposed to do. It's going to help us recognize how we're supposed to humble ourselves. We're going to see other people, as I've been showing here this morning, that humble themselves. It's nothing that we are told to do on our own. And we see the great reward that we're going to get. But Paul then continues on with the thought of how Christ, the Son of the Almighty God, was willing to come to this earth and humble himself as a servant. Being crucified on the cross was said to be one of the greatest shames, the lowest forms of execution someone could suffer. Said that a Roman citizen would be executed that way, but yet Christ lowered himself lower than the lowest to show his form of humility. He had the power to be where he wants, but yet he showed his humble heart. Now I want us to, time's sake, won't do it this morning, but I want us to do it in our private time. I want us to read carefully and consider Christ's attitude in that upper room the night before his death in John chapter 13. In our Lord and Savior, if our Lord and Savior considered himself as a servant, we're told in Matthew 20:28, how ought we to consider ourselves? Now I want us to look at the consequences of lacking humility. And we might step on everybody we can and take every means possible and rise to what the human form of us look at as the highest point in life you can get. You know, it's not the highest point in life we need to concentrate on. It's the highest point above that. It's our eternal life that we need to consider. We are pleasing to God when we obey His will and keep His commandments. We're told that over in John 14. John 14:15 tells us that
And Jesus is written red. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Two of the ways in which we are given commands from God in his inspired word are direct statement and example. Peter tells us that Christ is our example to follow. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. Over in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. Here, and he said, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. So here is where Christ has given us an example to follow his steps. And as shown, as we talked about before, when we talked about the two ways and all, Christ displayed an attitude of humility. You know, there are numerous passages that state our need of these great characteristics of humility. For example, we just sang and talked about James 4 and 10. Also 1 Peter 5, 5 and 6. But there's also Matthew chapter 23 and verse 12. Now when we possess these characteristics, we in turn are selfish. Man is hopeless, lost in sin without the gospel of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, 12 and 19. Also Hebrews 9 and 22. He cannot save himself. Philippians 4 and 13. But as Romans 1 and 16 tells us, we need God for our salvation. And that requires us to put away our will and accept God's will, which requires a humble attitude. Now, Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, Jesus told us that we cannot serve both man and mammon. Then in verse 33, he told us where our attention should be focused. That is, serving God. Now, in closing, I want to tell you that, remind you from the stories and all that Saul lost his kingdom due to the fact that he turned from his humble attitude, which he had in the beginning, and to an attitude of selfishness. Same thing with us. If we turn from our love of God and go into a selfish lifestyle, then we too will lose out on our separation with God. Judas paid the consequence when he allowed his greed to overpower his will to serve God. Demas' love for this present world allowed him to give up his humbleness and fall from grace. You know, there's consequences for not maintaining proper attitudes. And we see over in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verses 7 and 9 tells them, to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Now, however, there is a reward for those who humble themselves to God's will. That we said in James 4 and 10, we humble ourselves beside the Lord, he will raise us up. Now, what are you talking about? What do you mean by he will raise us up? Flip right quick. This is my last verse for lesson is yours. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. Galatians chapter 6 says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceived himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap a corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Verse 10 says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good will unto all men, especially unto them that are of the household of faith. So if you need to be baptized, I ask you to come forward. Maybe you've already been baptized, but you've stepped out of God's way. You need the prayers and the encouragement. This is one way we're told we're supposed to pray, and we need to help and to bring others back into them or the household of faith. So whatever your need may be, we ask you to come forward and we stand and sing our song of invitation, because there is power in the blood of Jesus.